Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. So I thought we'd start with a little bit of humor today, like we have been prone to doing. These jokes involve children, so fortunately they're not here to listen. discussing the story of Elijah and the false prophets of Baal. Do you guys remember that from Sunday school or from the Old Testament? The contest that Elijah set up with the false prophets of Baal, and there were two altars and there were two bulls and all that other kind of stuff. Okay. So a Sunday school teacher related that Elijah built an altar, put wood on it, cut a steer in pieces and laid it on the altar. And Elijah then commanded the people of God to fill 4 barrels of water and pour it over the altar. Right? Coming back to you. Why, the teacher asked the children, would Elijah have water poured over the steer on the altar? And a little girl said, to make the gravy. All right. Another young girl was asked to play the devil, tempting Jesus in the wilderness in a church play. But she refused, telling the pastor to ask her little brother instead, because he'd make a great devil. Finally, a bishop was invited to preach at an Anglican church. So we got to think Episcopalian here, all right? And he joined the rector's family for Sunday dinner after church. And the rector, meaning pastor's small daughter, said, a person must be very brave to go to church these days. Why do you say that? The bishop asked. Because, the child said, I heard Pop tell Mom that there was a big shot in the pulpit. The cannon was in the vestry. The choir murdered the anthem. And the organist drowned everybody. All right, take it for what it's worth. We've been doing a lot of conversation about why we do what we do. We talked about the various symbols and colors, and obviously you see, even though we're still in the Epiphany season, everything is white. We're not going to review all that because we did all that, but it's still Epiphany. It's still the life of Jesus is our focus, but today is a festival. Today is a happy day. Today is a holiday, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. That's why everything is white. Last week, what I did was review the early life of Jesus from his birth to the start of his preaching. And I made the point, hopefully you took it to heart, that you also preach. When you share your faith in Christ, when you share your hope in Christ, you are preaching, and people are responding not so much to you, they are responding to him. When you preach, when you speak for God, when you share your faith, you share his word, you share your hope in Christ, it's him that's being responded to and not you. And there's a passage I didn't mention last week that I'm going to mention today to sort of kind of seal that deal. Jesus himself said in Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, that whoever listens to you listens to me. Okay, when you're speaking for God, it is actually God speaking through you. And if people are listening to you, it's not because you're doing such a great job. Although maybe you are doing a great job. That's kind of not relevant. What they're really doing, if they listen to you and receive your message, is that they're receiving Christ. They're receiving Christ's message through you. However, Jesus also said, whoever rejects you rejects me. Okay, so please be aware of that and try not to take it personally either way. All right, if you're sharing from the word and people are, you know, doing this, it's not personally against you. Well, maybe it is a little bit. It's against him, ultimately. And here's the kicker. Jesus also said, whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. Okay? And the flip side would also be true, that whoever listens to me through you then is receiving him who sent me. All right? So that's how this thing works when we're out there in the world. When I reviewed the life of Jesus last week, there was one event that I did not mention when he was 40 days old, and I didn't mention it intentionally. It's not that I forgot. I just decided to wait until today when we would talk about it, because today Jesus is 40 days old, because today is 40 days after Christmas. Okay, February 2nd. It's always February 2nd. If December 25th is always Christmas. And so today is called the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus. Huh? What is that? And part of the reason why we don't know too much about that is because February 2nd does not always fall on a Sunday. It just happens to fall on a Sunday this year. So we're going to take a look at that. We're going to take a look at this festival where we adorn our chancel and altar with white and celebrate this feast, this festival of the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus. What is this? Where does this come from? Well, here's what it says in the Bible, in the Old Testament about what we're celebrating today. First of all, a woman who gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. When is the eighth day after Easter, after Christmas, by the way? Anybody know? January 1. All right, January 1 is always the eighth day after Christmas Day. And January 1, when the rest of the world is celebrating the new year or maybe getting over their hangovers, what we're doing as Christians and especially as Lutherans is we're celebrating the name of Jesus because that's the day he was circumcised. That's the day he was named. So January 1 for us is not just New Year's Day. January 1 for us is the circumcision and the name of Jesus. All right. So then the Bible continues, the woman must wait 33 days to be purified for her bleeding. 7 days plus 33 is then 40 days. By the way, there are very similar rules, if you will, for a woman after the birth of a daughter, okay? So, you know, there's no discrimination here. When the days of her purification for a son, that's what we're looking at, are over, she is to bring to the priest a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. That's the way you do that. And then he shall offer them before Yahweh to make atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean. That's what the Bible says. That's the protocol. One more point. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And in this way, the priest will make atonement for her, and she will be clean. What did Mary bring? Do you remember from what I just read? Okay, we'll get there. As a godly woman then, Mary did according to what God's word said. She, after 40 days, went to Jerusalem to the priest. Joseph went with her. They brought Jesus along. They were still staying in Bethlehem. So they traveled from Bethlehem and they offered two doves or two pigeons, which tells you what? She couldn't afford the lamb. She couldn't afford to offer the lamb because she and Joseph were poor. Okay, they offered the two birds instead. And on the one hand, it makes sense because Joseph was no longer in his shop up there in Nazareth. He was down in Bethlehem staying with relatives for the census, right, for the taxes. So he was not working. He was not engaged in his craft. He might have been doing odd jobs, you know, here and there, making a little bit of money. But even so, when he was engaged in his craft in Nazareth, that doesn't mean that he traveled from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem with bags of money. They were poor. Which tells you what else? Jesus was born into poverty. Jesus was not born into a family that was well off and middle class like most of us are, or like most of us pretend we are or try to be. He was born into poverty, literally. And that, to me, that adds a whole new meaning and a whole new dimension of understanding and appreciation for the words of Paul that he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully by the grace of God, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in heaven, yet for our sakes he became poor. Literally, his poverty wasn't just simply the fact that he left heaven and came to earth. His poverty was that he was born into a poor family. Literally. Why? Why did he do this? So that we, you, me through his poverty might become rich in heaven. Okay? Those words, that verse, to me, takes on a whole new meaning and a whole new facet in light of what we're observing today, that Mary and Joseph couldn't even offer a lamb for her purification. According to the law of Moses, they had to offer two birds because they were that poor. And Jesus was that poor so that we could be rich, so that we could have eternal riches, so that we can have wealth that never goes away, so that we can have wealth that's not connected to the stock market, so that we can have wealth that's not connected to any sort of economic downfall or upturn for that matter either. So that we can have wealth and riches that are secure, that are always ours, that thieves can't steal, that do not decay or rust. And the other thing then that this little observance of ours today brings to the forefront of our attention then is, what is our own attitude towards the poor? Of which there are some in Ocean County, and there may be some right next to us in the church, and there may be some right next to us in our communities. And maybe not just materially poor, because everything might seem okay, but they're actually living on credit up to their eyeballs. But you've got a whole bunch of poor people around us that are spiritually poor. They are emotionally poor. They are relationally poor. They are lonely. There's a whole lot of people who are connected on their device that are lonely. And especially as we get into the older ages of people, they're lonely. That's a kind of poverty. How do we embrace the poor the way that Jesus, the Son of God, became poor and embraced us? See how this connects? Okay. That's one aspect. There's another aspect of today in terms of what it is that we're doing, and hopefully you'll understand when I'm done why we're doing all this. Mary and Joseph were also in Jerusalem to do something else, according to God's word, and that is this thing called presenting Jesus. They were there not only for her purification, they were also there to present Jesus to God. And that comes from what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. Yahweh said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. Consecrate meaning dedicate, meaning set aside. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. And so all firstborn males, animals, all firstborn male humans were dedicated to God. The animals were dedicated to God by their sacrifice and death. The humans were dedicated to God, like Samuel was in the Old Testament reading. They were dedicated to life, to God, by a life of service, as was Jesus. Jesus was Mary's firstborn male. He was therefore dedicated to God, presented to God, and he lived a life of service to God by serving people. That's what he did. And not only that, but as an animal, then he died a sacrificial death in the place of people. That's for you, and that's for me. Okay, he lived a life of service, but he also died a sacrificial death, dedicated to God. This little observance we're having today, just by way of a little bit of a background, then this Feast of the Presentation that I just mentioned was first observed in Jerusalem in the late 300s. This observance of the purification of Mary then was added to this Feast of the Presentation in the 800s. In the Middle Ages, what we're observing today became known as Candlemas. Like we have Christmas, this was called Candlemas. And it comes from the words of Simeon, who held Jesus in his arms under the Holy Spirit's direction. And he said that Jesus is the light to lighten the Gentiles. And in candle mass in the Middle Ages, and in some churches even still, there are a whole lot of candles that were blessed, and they were lit, and they were used to symbolize Jesus as the light of the world. See, we're continuing this kind of Christmas echo, if you will, as Jesus enlightens the nations with his grace and truth. And so that's what Candlemas was about. And that's a little bit of a background then in terms of what we're doing today, why we're doing it, why we observe it. I hope this sort of kind of helps you understand a little bit better the connection of the Bible, the way it's all connected to each other. I hope this helps you understand Jesus a little better and maybe brings home some of the lessons of his life and of his death. But I also want to just, before we wrap it up for today, segue a little bit into what we're going to do the next week or two. And that is notice the difference between what people did in the temple while we're thinking and talking about the temple and what we do in church. I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the floor plan of the church is very similar to the temple floor plan, okay, where this is the nave, where the altar of sacrifice was. This is the chancel corresponding to the holy place, and up there is a sanctuary corresponding to the most holy place. But what people did in the temple and what we do in church are very different, even though the floor plans are very similar. Because in the temple, people did a lot of sacrificing. It was kind of a bloody place, you know, very unsanitary from our perspective. They did a lot of praying. There was some listening going on because there was some teaching going on in the temple. But everything that was going on in the temple was very individualized. People kind of did it as individuals. Okay, this was not a whole lot of stuff that was being done together, corporately. The whole idea of people singing together and praying together and listening together to readings and to explanations as a group, that's not what happened in the temple. That happened more in synagogues. And that's what persists then, what we do in church today, very similarly. We sing together, we pray together. Most importantly, what we do in church is listen together, collectively. Although we do individual things, but mostly we do this together. But we don't do this stuff together randomly, haphazardly. There's a rhyme, there's a reason, there's a rhythm, there's a flow to what we do together in terms of how our service runs. And so I want to look at that with you for these next couple of weeks so that we can all see and understand better why we do what we do, okay, in terms of when we get together for worship. That's kind of a little bit what's coming. But as far as today is concerned, let me just wrap it up and sort of reemphasize and reinforce those two points from these two observances that we're celebrating together, the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord. That number one, Jesus became poor for you so you could become rich in him, okay? And number two, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, namely you. So not only then the question becomes of how do we respond to that from him, but also then how do we respond to the poor among us, near us, and then how do we, like Christ, serve them? Jesus is here to serve us, and now how do we serve others with his strength and in his name? Amen? Amen. All right, let's continue our service as we